right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. Before we get started in our Bible study, our study on the church, let's take a few moments to take some prayer requests and to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ that we may have upon our hearts that need our prayers. Anyone have any special prayer requests? Anyone? Yes. Yes. Now, did you have your heart cath?
It was. He said I had the heart of a teenager.
Great. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But continue to pray for her that they're able to find out exactly the cause of those seizures that she's having. Yes.
Just to pray when the foster doctor reports back from her procedure on her pancreas, she does not have cancer.
Okay. That's another praise. Linda Foster does not have cancer. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? All right, let's go to our Lord for a time of prayer. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and honored to have the privilege of meeting together in this place, in this hour, as we study Your Word and as we study specifically on the doctrine of the church. And so, Father, we pray that You would help us, Lord, to ingest all of the truths, Lord, that we would have these things in our hearts and our minds, that we would love You even more because of the knowledge that we're able to glean about such a wonderful doctrine, the doctrine of the church. Lord, we thank You for the good praise reports that we've heard of Joyce Ann and Linda Foster. Lord, we're so thankful for those things. We ask You, Lord, to continue, Lord, to work in their lives, work in the lives of the doctors as they are trying to pinpoint some of the issues that they are facing. Father, we pray, Lord, for all the churches around the world, here in North America, who are being targeted for worshiping and being penalized and persecuted in a sense for worshiping and gathering together as a church. Father, we pray, Lord, for those pastors. We pray, Lord, for those church members, Lord, that You would give them a courage that is bold and strong, Lord, that would be contagious for those who are watching. I pray, Lord, that You would help us here in our country, Lord, to guard and to keep those things which we have very evidently taken for granted, and that is our freedoms. I pray, Lord, that we would resist those things and not in a manner of as rebellious, but, Lord, resisting those things that, Lord, that it is an encroachment upon the liberties that You have given us, the liberties of freedom and those rights that the government does not give, but You are the bestower of those gifts. So, Father, we ask You, Lord, to meet with us again in a very special way, Lord, this morning. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, for those of you who do not know, that we are looking at a particular study that Pastor Jeffrey Johnson of Grace Bible Church in Conway has put together, and that is a study on the church. A look at her nature, her authority, purpose, and her worship. We have begun the second chapter, which talks about the membership of the church. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at on page 30, reasons to join a church. Why are we to join a church? Well, we looked at four reasons 2 weeks ago. First of all, church membership is assumed in the New Testament. And then we looked at church membership as an evidence of the new birth. One of the ways that we mark a person who shows characteristics of a Christian, is those who are going to affiliate themselves with the body of Christ. That's an evidence of the new birth. The third reason church membership is essential for our sanctification. We looked at that. And then also church membership is essential to loving Christ. And that's our where we'll be starting this this morning. Church membership is essential to loving Christ. Now, hopefully, Jeffrey will have some books this week. If you would like a book that you're going to follow along with me, just let me know. And hopefully he'll have some more in this week that I can grab. But the first thing we're looking at this morning as we think about reasons to join a church, and that is church membership is essential to loving Christ. Now we know that Christ loves the church enough, so much so, that he gave his life for the church. He died for the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 tells us this. And though the church is not yet perfected, Christ still loves the church. Now, we're not yet perfected. We are being sanctified right now. We're being made holy, but we'll never be yet perfected until the bride of Christ is in heaven. But nevertheless, Christ still loves the church, even in our imperfection. So then Jeffrey asks a couple of questions. Therefore, how are we going to love Christ without loving that which He also loves? If we say that we love Christ, then we are automatically going to want to love those things which Christ loves, and we know He loves the church. And then he asks another question. How can we say we love the head of the church, which is Christ, if we do not love also the body of Christ? That's a very good question for us to consider. How can we say that we love Christ, the head of the church, if we don't also love the body of Christ? He says this and gives us an illustration. To tell your spouse that you only love their head and not their body is an insult. And that would not go over very well at all, right? Hey, honey, I love your head, but your body, I don't like so much. That would not go over well at all. Well, in the same way, by us loving Christ, we are also called to love the body of Christ, the church. And so for this reason, Jeff says that he agrees with Joel Beakey, who asked this question. If the Lord Jesus Christ cherished the church so much that he died for her, is it too much for him to ask his followers to cherish the church and live for her? It's a very good question. And that's a question that each believer should consider. If Jesus Christ cherished the church so much that he died for her, is it too much for him to ask his followers to cherish the church and live for her? No, it's not. And it should be an evidence that we have passed from death to life because we're going to love the things that Christ loves. We're not only going to say we love Jesus, the head of the church, but we're also going to love the body of Christ, the church. So Jeff says here that church membership is essential to loving Christ. You can never love Christ the way he is to be loved if you do not love the body of Christ. You cannot do it. It is an impossibility. And these folks who say, well, I love Christ, but I don't have to worship. I don't have to be with God's people. Your love for Christ is not what it ought to be. Cannot be. Notice the fifth thing that Jeff mentions is that church membership is essential to obedience. Church membership is essential to obedience. The Bible makes it very clear that we are to be active members of a local church when it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, even so much the more as we see the day approaching. So, think about the logic here. If you do not believe that there is such thing as church membership and the essentialness of church membership, then how are you to stir up one another? How are you to encourage one another, admonish one another, if you do not have to come together as a body? You cannot stir up your brother or sister in Christ within the local church if you are constantly separating yourself from the church. You are not obeying the Scripture. Of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but that is the logic that Paul's saying. Consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. You cannot do such a thing if you are separated from the local church. Charles Spurgeon addressed the necessity of church membership for those who falsely think that they do not need to submit themselves to a local church body. This is what Spurgeon said. I know there are some who say, well, I've given myself to the Lord, but I don't intend to give myself to any church. I say, now why not? And they answer, because I can be just as good a Christian without it. I say, are you quite clear about that? You can be as good a Christian by disobedience to your Lord's commands as being obedient? I don't believe that you're answering the purpose for which Christ saved you. You're living contrary to the life which Christ would have you to live, and you are much to blame for the injury you do. So not only is church membership a direct command, but many other commands in Scripture cannot be obeyed without being an active member of a local New Testament church. Church membership is essential to obedience. Not only is church membership a direct command, but many other commands in Scripture cannot be obeyed without being an active member of a local church. For instance, in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, one could not obey the ruling elders or pastors. Hebrews 13, 17 says that we are to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, or that would be unprofitable. And so one of the commands that the Lord gives to the Christian is that you are to submit yourself to an elder. You are to have a sense of be accountable to a pastor or to an elder. And if you are not a part of a local New Testament church, then that's an impossibility. You have no accountability from a pastor. So one cannot be obeying ruling elders if you are separated from the church. And then another reason Jeffrey gives is that one cannot properly participate in the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." The third reason is this: one could not come together with other Christians for corporate worship. Colossians 3:15 and 16 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with Christ in your hearts to the Lord. And so there is this expectation as a believer that you are to meet together and you are to dwell together as in one body, but you are to do what? You are to sing. You're to admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your hearts to the Lord. So that is a command that we as believers have to meet together for corporate worship. You cannot do this alone constantly. You cannot do that. Then the sixth and final reason is this. Church membership is God's means of accountability. Church membership is God's means of accountability. Church membership is more than getting our names on the church roll and our phone numbers and pictures in the church directory. It is more than just the outward acknowledgement that we will make a particular church our new church home. Serious commitments and sobering consequences are involved in church membership. But at the heart of church membership is this thing of accountability. We are called to commit and to submit ourselves one to another. And so the church, therefore, is designed to minister, to love and to care and watch over its members. And this means that each member has a responsibility to love and pray for the body of Christ, much like what we have done just even this morning, what we've asked and prayed for and thanked the Lord for Him answering prayers and the good praise reports that we've heard. That is responsibility of church members and brothers and sisters in Christ. By way of conclusion, Jeffrey says, if we jump from church to church and move our membership from here to there so casually, it reveals that we don't deem church membership as all that important. He asked this question, what is behind this take it or leave it mentality? It is the perspective that the church is to be handled in the same way as the favorite local movie theater. Church has become nothing more than a spectator sport. Another place of entertainment to go on Sunday with absolutely no strings attached. The fact that Christ died for the church must elevate it as more than just a Sunday morning punch-in, punch-out activity for us. Church membership is something that God requires of His people, which includes placing oneself under the care of the church and under the rule of the elders, committing to be faithful in attendance and a regular supporter of the ministry, and making oneself responsible for the spiritual well-being of others within the church body. Christ instituted the church for the saints. Therefore, to shun it is to view oneself wiser than God. Other reasons could be given for church membership, but these are more than enough to prove that God requires His people to live out their Christian lives in the context of being active and faithful to a local body of believers. He says much more needs to be said about the blessings and responsibility of church members, how local assemblies are to be established and governed, and what functions they are to carry out in their organized meetings. But at this point in our study, it is clear that church membership is no option for the followers of Jesus Christ. And so we put here at Barrel Baptist, we put a premium on church membership. And I try to meet with them at least once, many times more than once, to talk to them about the importance of church membership, what we expect from them and what they should expect from us. And that helps. It helps a lot to instruct these prospects that they're not just coming to, join a church and take it lightly. They're making a commitment. They're making a covenantal commitment to us and we to them. Now, anybody have any questions about church membership or some of the reasons why we are to join? Maybe some comments that you might have this morning. Yes.
Mm-hmm. To meditate on, but the other question is, how can you love the head of Jesus and not love the body? And, for some people, you can kind of see maybe a reason, Jesus died for them, and Jesus loved them first, and...
Sure.
And then you think, a lot of people have had bad experiences.
That's right. That's very true. And there are a lot of people who are not active in a church because they have been hurt down through the years. And we all know of those type of folks who have just been so wounded, sadly, within the church that they are now maybe holding a grudge against the church in general and not active. But nevertheless, we are commanded to love the church with all the... Yeah, it's an excuse, and some have a valid reason. Some have a valid scar that is there. But we did much more injury as sinners to Jesus than what sinners have done to other sinners, such as us. Yeah.
Or something like that. It's hard to hold that against that person and call it an excuse.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. But yes, that's a very good point. But if Christ still loves the church in its imperfect state, then we are also to extend that love to the church. And regardless of our imperfections, and even me as a pastor, I'm gonna make mistakes, and I have made some mistakes in the past, as maybe some decisional mistakes as being a pastor. I probably, guess what, will still make mistakes, but Peter says this: love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. And we are to look at the body of Christ in the big picture, not just specifically looking at a particular member that dictates the rest of our journey as a believer. And so, but that's a very good question. There are many, many people. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And there may be some people that are hurt by the church. But the church's job, they go out and reconcile that relationship and not just say, oh, well, that's just them.
That's right.
So it's you can say, well, I go to church and they don't, like you're at a higher plane or something, but are you doing your job as a body of Christ? You're the arms, you're the legs. That's what we are.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. It's very easy for us to look down on those who are not active in the church and to think that we're here and they are there. That's not the way we're to do that. We are to, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, I believe in chapter 5, that we are to mark the one who walks not according to the word of the Lord, and we're to separate ourselves from them. However, we are to admonish them as a brother, not as an enemy. And there's a lot of truth in what he's saying. It's very easy for us to look down upon them as an enemy, and neglect to look at them as a brother or sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's right. Very true. Very good comments. Anyone else have any comments concerning my watch is dead. That's why I had to get my phone earlier. Is there choir practice? Okay. Anyone else have any comments concerning reasons to join? Unite with a local church. All right. Again, if you would like a book, let me know. And hopefully Jeffrey will have some available this week that I can grab. But let's go to our Lord for a time of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for this time of study. And what a great study this is, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you gave yourself for us. And Lord, help us to love one another with that same love to the best of our ability through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to minister as to those, Lord, in need, as brothers and sisters and not as our adversaries. And Father, we do pray, Lord, for those that have been hurt and have been wounded, even in this local church down through the years. Those maybe even now not attending church because of hurt feelings. Father, we pray for them. We pray that you would help us to minister to them and to show them the importance of dealing with that and getting themselves back involved in a local church. Father, help us to not only love the head of the church, your son Jesus, but Lord, help us to love the body of Christ, the church. Help us to exhort one another, encourage one another, as you have commanded us to do. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. There will be choir practice for those. We'll be meeting in the choir room at this time.